Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, today it's not Aaron Flint. Today it's Tammy Hall, and I'm so honored to be here. I'm filling in for Aaron, but if you're in Miles City, he's there for the Americans for Prosperity today. And Aaron is going to be at Main Street Grind from 7 to 8:30, and then at the Black Iron Grill for lunchtime. So go visit with Aaron. You'll love it. He is one of Montana's premier reporters, and he just knows a lot. You can get yourself... He'll find out about you, and then you'll end up on the air. That's what happens. That's how this goes. Anyway, I'm Tammy Hall from Bozeman, Montana, with an incredible foursome. It takes more than one to do this. Aaron can do it with Travis, but Kelly and I take four. So I want you to know who our team is today. We have extraordinary engineer man Travis, who runs everything in there in the big engineering room, which, just so you can picture this, he's not in the same room with us, but we do share a window. So I can say hi to him, and he can start laughing when I forget to turn the mic on. And then I have my very precious Kelly, 56 years married, and right here in Billings. We got married here 56 years ago at St. Pius, and we went in on our anniversary one time. We walked to see the church, and it's now a school. It's a locker room. What happened to our church? They built a new St. Bias that turned our church into a gym. And then I have from Canada my precious little brother, Shane Montalban. And I know everybody in the Bozeman area is excited to hear Shane in with us today. Before we go off to our first break, I have to tell you about the phenomenal lineup we have today. If you stay with us on and off all morning, you are going to have a fun time, okay? At 7 o'clock, we have a fellow named Brad Johnson. And Brad is a retired CIA agent who is working very hard to uncover all the fraud in the CIA. We want to talk to him about the assassination and what behind the scenes really did happen. And then at 7:30, we have Steve Daines, our senator. And if you noticed at the convention, Steve Daines was brought into the box by Donald Trump, like all the main speakers for the evening. But when they all left for his family to come into the box at the convention, the President Trump himself reached out and grabbed Steve and said, stay. So Steve was the only person, Montana senator, with President Trump in the box. And then at 8, we have Congressman and former Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. At 8:30, we have the chair of the Republican Party, Don Kaye. At 9 o'clock, we have the future Supreme Court Chief Justice, Corey Swanson. We are absolutely convinced he's going to be our future Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Boy, does he have something to tell you. And then we have your future Congressman from Billings, Troy Downing. That's who we've got coming. Come on back. We're going to have fun. Shane, are you ready to have a good time? Yeah, he is.
I'm having a good time with you, my dear.
Okay.
I'm having a good time with you.
Here we go. Come on back.
Securing America.
The prisoner exchange announced Thursday, which brought home former Marine Paul Whelan and journalists Evan Gershkovich and Alsu Kermasheva, among others, is a reminder that many areas of the world, including Russia, are not safe for Americans. President Biden saying Thursday, there is a lesson to be learned.
Advising people not to go certain places. Tell them what's at risk, what's at stake.
State Department spokesman Vindam Patel saying that the U.S. and its allies are always searching for
ways in which allies and partners can collectively work together to better protect its citizens from this kind of detention and hostage taking.
Brent Sadler of the Heritage Foundation telling the Fox News Rundown podcast, if people are traveling to countries hostile to the U.S.,
then you probably should think twice and maybe change your travel plans.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 90s in Bozeman to around 105 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies. Lows near 60 in Bozeman, around 70 in Billings. And the outlook for Saturday does call for more sunshine. 96 in Bozeman with a high around 100 in Billings. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And today we have Tammy Hall and up in Canada, my little brother whom I adore, Shane Montalban. And Aaron right now is in Miles City, and you can meet with him. He's there for the Americans for Prosperity, and he's at the Main Street Grind at 7 to 8:30, and he's doing lunch at the Black Iron Grill, so go down and join him. Before we jump into the story, I wanted to tell you my quote of the week from the last time we were on the air. And it is, tax avoidance is a great pastime in America. Tax evasion is a crime. So be careful you know the difference. I thought that was the best, and I had to repeat that. Okay, and then bravo, bravo, bravo to Mike Johnson, our Speaker of the House, and a whole group of our representatives, our congressmen, who win the out-of-control, wacko Palestinian Hamas protesters took over the Capitol and took down the flag. Those men and women marched out of the Capitol and went to the flag and put it back up in Union Station. And to have our congressman care enough to walk out and do that almost gave me tears. So we're going to talk a little bit today about two things. We're going to talk about the Olympics. And by the way, it was wonderful. I watch it every day, but I was disgusted to see a man boxer boxing in the women's division, which they did not allow freak men to swim in the swimmers. But, oh, yeah, they let this freak of a man who went out there like a man. He didn't do anything to pretend he was a woman. He looked like a man. He was a man. He knocked out the woman boxer in 46 seconds. And then she went down on her knees as she walked away and cried because she had worked for this for 20 years. And he came up to her, phony baloney, and tried to put his hand on her shoulder. And she stood tall and walked away. And I'm proud of her to this minute. But, oh, if you don't think the world's going wild. But the other thing we're going to do, Shane, my newsman. Shane is the collector and knower of all news. And so we, in this seven-minute break, tell me something interesting that happened this week. Besides, I turned 75. I turned 75 on Wednesday. Yay! I'm above ground.
That's right.
A day above ground is a day to celebrate. Even by the end of the day.
Our family, his birthday was the 31st of July. Happy birthday to you. You're true and so real. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Well, the great thing that happened this week, as you know, Tammy, your prayers, family prayers, friends' prayers, they were all answered. The great Kay, the Kelly in her life, similar namesake to me, was renewed, and his contract was renewed with life in the great Lord above, and he's recovering nicely and healthy. So what a miracle, you know. Einstein said, look outside, everything you see is a miracle. Everything in my life, every day has been a miracle.
Well, thank you for that.
The guy who came to our home when Tammy was 18, and she'd met him at Rimrock College, and at 18, brought him to our home at 2716 Beth Drive, in the kitchen. This guy stood over 6 feet tall. I was like 4'9". He was like huge, one of the largest humans I'd ever seen. And Tammy announced to my mother that she'd fallen in love, was going to marry him. And my mother said, what do you have? What do you do? He says, well, I'm going to be a plumber, and I have a milk cow. And that's not, what? Well, she was wrong. Tammy was right. This guy has been phenomenal. He has cared for and loved his family. He's an elder of his church, his home. neighborhood, and Kelly's just the most superb human being there is. I know I'm taking time to do this.
Oh, I love it. I'm just glowing, and he's embarrassed.
If you don't believe in miracles, there are no coincidences. They had two children, her eldest daughter.
Three.
Are you ready to marry a guy named Shane or Kelly or Shane Patrick Coleman? My middle name is Shane, and my younger brother's name is Patrick. Now, come on.
Yeah, my daughter married a guy named Shane Patrick. Meant to be.
My sister married a guy named Kelly, my given name. Wow, it's just so...
Now, I have to tell you, Shane.
You're blessed, and so is Kelly.
Okay, let me tell you. Now he's at beating cancer, yay, to this whole list, and that's really good. But I do have to tell you the funny part of the story. When I told my mother I was going to marry him, and she said, and how do you expect to take care of her, my daughter in the way in which I expect her to live? Which, who, what? Okay, we lived in Billings, for Pete's sake. But Kelly said, well, ma'am, I have a motorcycle, a shotgun, and a milk cow. And my mother started to laugh so hard that I walked out of the room in a fuss, thinking, you? And I was all of 18. Anyway, here's what's important. In order to pay for Tara, no, we weren't pregnant at the time, but being the wise young 18-year-old I was, about 10 months later, a year later, I said to Kelly, we're broke. We can't afford anything. Let's have a baby. They're free. And so we had the baby, and Kelly sold his motorcycle to pay for the baby. And then along came Tiffany, and Kelly sold his rifle to pay for that birth. And then our milk cow provided $45 a month from milk, and our rent at Married Student Housing in Bozeman, where we both got our degrees, was $45 a month. So, and then we sold the milk cow to pay for Troy. So how about that? All right, we're going to take a break, and then more on the history of what happened this week, Shane. All right, come on back.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Northland. Before the U.S. Senate went on break just yesterday, they did manage to vote on some key pieces of legislation. In a 48-44 vote, the U.S. Senate rejected the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act, falling short of the 60 votes needed to advance. The bill, which included provisions for 100% bonus depreciation and increased Section 179 deductions, also aimed to boost the child tax credit. Although the House has passed the $79 billion tax package, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer acknowledged the bill's slim chances close to the presidential election. Now, despite this, DTN reported the Senate unanimously passed the Water Resources Development Act to improve lock and dam projects while also authorizing new construction and feasibility studies. The National Grain and Feed Association praised its passage. The bill would permanently increase the federal cost share for inland waterway projects to 75%, with the remaining 25% coming from the Inland Waterways Trust Fund, shifting from an old 65-35 split. The bill also provides funding for projects authorized through the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. In endangered species news, Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon is criticizing the Biden administration's delay in responding to Wyoming's petition to delist grizzly bears in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. The state has filed a response to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's notice of their inability to meet the deadline, demanding a decision by October 31st of this year. Governor Gordon emphasized that the greater Yellowstone grizzly populations have met recovery goals repeatedly over the past 40 years and criticized the ongoing federal management and costs involved. Wyoming asserts it has a robust plan for grizzly management and will not tolerate further delays.
Attention all growers and ag retailers.
Tired of losing the war against wild oats? It's time to bring in the big guns. Avidex and Fargo herbicides from Gowan USA. These Group 15 herbicides are your ticket to controlling Group 1 and Group 2 resistant wild oats and suppressing brome and ryegrass. Don't let these weeds invade your field. Take charge. Contact your local ag retailer today. Get your hands on Avidex and Fargo. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan USA.
Cattle producers, Superior Livestock Auctions Bighorn Classic is coming up August 19th through the 23rd in Sheridan, Wyoming. Each year, the Bighorn Classic is one of the best summer video sales around. If you haven't marketed your calves and yearlings, take advantage of this red-hot cattle market and consign your cattle by August 2nd. Contact your local Superior Livestock rep today or visit superiorlivestock.com. Superior Livestock, committed to buyers and sellers for over 35 years.
Agricultural machinery manufacturers are facing financial difficulties, with John Deere reporting declining sales and layoffs. Now, CNH Industries, makers of Case IH and New Holland products, also announced poor Q2 2024 results, where revenue dropped 16% due to lower industry demand, and net income fell $438 million from $710 million the previous year. Agriculture net sales decreased by 20% to $3.9 billion, mainly due to lower shipment volumes. In North America, the Middle East and Africa, and South America, demand for tractors and combines all fell, while demand in the Asia-Pacific region saw slight increases. Now CNH is forecasting weaker sales for ag and construction equipment in the second half of the year. I'm Lynn Northlund, Western Ag Network.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And today you have Tammy Hall and Shane Montalban and the great Travis running the engineering and my husband Kelly helping with little buttons. I'm not sure what. I have to be careful of laughing. I do not want to sound like Cackling Kamala. And that is her name, Kathleen Kamala. Anyway, Aaron is in Miles City today. He's with the Americans for Prosperity. He's at Main Street Grill from 7 to 8:30. So catch him down there for coffee and wisdom. And he'll be at the Black Iron Grill at lunchtime. And Shane, you've got about 3 minutes here. Fill us in the wonderful history of this year week.
Oh, absolutely. This is my favorite. 1790, Samuel Hoskins was awarded the first U.S. patent. Now, this was a big deal in 1790. He created a greater yield of high-quality potash that not only changed industry in the United States, but was became one of the largest exports at the time. And it's a basic form of potassium carbonate, and it's used to make soap, glass, gunpowder, of course, and fertilizers. What made it a big deal for me was it was the first patent that was signed by both President George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. And the fascinating thing about patents for everybody when I went and did a dive on it is that, you know, today there's 3.34 million patents enforced in the United States. We've had over 10 million patents since, 1790. And the amazing thing is that one of the biggest holders of patents in the United States, NASA.
Really? NASA?
NASA, NASA. If it wasn't for NASA, we wouldn't have the carts we drive around for paraplegics and
Tang.
People that need help. Yep. And the other fascinating thing that I got a giggle out of that I wanted to mention because I think of all the things that we could talk about, we should talk about something that's humorous, was that, of course, in 1966, Christian Fern's Beatles record, John Lennon made a negative comment about Jesus. Wow, being woke. Whoa, that'll get you. But the best one was 1970. After 700 years, the Royal Navy began rationing rum, known as Black Tot Day. Sailors were only allowed 2 servings of rum daily, consisting of 4 parts water, 1 part serving of rum. So there you go. Those two I thought were the most fascinating.
Oh, wait, and, I got something to add to that. Guess who else has a patent? The great, the one, the only, Kelly Hall. Kelly Hall has a...
The Great K.
Of
course he does.
He does. He has a patent on a plumbing product. It was designed so that when you forget to turn off your water, but you have an outdoor faucet, when in the spring it thaws out and starts to break, and water runs into your basement, and just... And in Montana, everybody knows somebody who has turned on the water and had it flood the basement.
He's currently at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio for health evaluations following their release from Russian captivity after the largest prisoner swap in post-Soviet history. Marine veteran Paul Whelan held for 2,043 days.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm home. Yeah. I'm never going back there again.
Joined by Wall Street Journal reporter Emma Gershkovich. He was arrested March of 2023, sentenced last month to 16 years in prison by a Russian court. The U.S. called his hurried trial a sham. Journalist Alsu Kramarsheva, for with Russia and American citizenship detained in Russia in June of last year, also home. And the acting Secret Service Director, Ronald Rowe Jr., delivers an update on the probe into the botched security leading to the assassination attempt of former President Trump at 2 p.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
We are back on. That was one quick minute. Are you there, Shane?
I am indeed.
Okay. I wanted to share the little verse that my husband gave me this morning. Right before the show started, we always pray together. And he gave me this wonderful verse from Psalm. And it said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my rock, my Redeemer." And I thought, wow, with that is a promise from God behind me. We're off to a great start, Shane. We got the rock, the Redeemer. I mean, we got it, babe. Nothing he can't handle.
Well, another remarkable great K, Kelly Hall, forever moment. Tammy came home years ago once from a MRI for her MS, and she found in the MRI 26 more issues in her brain. And she started to cry and sat down and said to Kelly, "Do you realize at any time I could become a paraplegic?" And he looked into her teared eyes, wiped them away, and said, "Don't worry, my love. I've got it covered. I'll build a ramp."
He did, too. That man has had me every inch of the way. I remember when I first found out I had MS, and, of course, the doctor did all the tests, and he said, "Well, it could be Lou Gehrig's, it could be cancer, it could be tumors, it could be a brain tumor, it could be da-da-da, it could be MS." So when I went back in and he said, "It's MS," I said, "Well, good, that's the one I picked." And he started laughing like I was going to get to pick, but I was still a control freak, right, that God was still working on. And anyway, then I knew all the side effects, and I'm very proudful, which God hates pride. I'm very proudful of my affected brain that up until I hit 70 worked incredibly well. And so I said, "Lord, you know, please, you know, take away my sight, take away my legs, take away anything, but leave me my brain." Well, my lesions in my brain happen to be in the section that affects the thinking. And that's why my brother is so nice to help me today, because I forget and lose words. I have a mentally disabled daughter. And when we meet people, Carol always says, "Do I know you?" And we used to laugh at that because we thought it was so cute. And now Kelly and I look at people and go, "Do I know you?" Because we thought, well, we didn't know Daryl was a genius. But anyway, I guess if you ask God for something and he thinks it's better for you, he'll give you the opposite. So every day I get up now and I say, "Lord, please don't take away my big butt. Love this big butt. It's so beautiful." And I can't fool him. He hasn't done a thing with making it smaller. Anyway, okay, Shane, I wanted to mention the Olympics. Now, first of all, we're out of time, are we? No. Oh, we are? We're out of time. It didn't go music.
Awesome.
Oh, the music's on. Okay.
Montana.
State News Network.
Good morning, I'm Dennis Bragg. The Donald Trump campaign is confirming the former president will be speaking in Bozeman next Friday evening at 8 p.m. at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse on the Montana State University campus. That means the rally will be indoors, in contrast to his traditional raucous outdoor rallies he's held here in Montana in the past. Tickets are available now on the campaign website. Attendees will be able to line up 4 hours before he takes the stage. That'll be around 8 p.m. Before then, the crowd expected to hear from Montana candidates, including Senate hopeful Tim Sheehy. For a few years following the delisting of wolves in the Northern Rockies, the numbers of wolves in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming were climbing. That's been a point of dispute with conservation groups. But new numbers released this week suggest Montana wildlife managers may be getting close to a balance in wolf populations, as Jason Laird reports.
According to a recent report, the wolf population in Montana is holding steady. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks said earlier this week that the population remains healthy, even though the state has seen an increase in the amount of wolves harvested over the past couple of years. Those numbers include 283 during the previous season and 258 the year before. Biologists with the department said that a slight decline is expected into this next year due to the previous harvest, but there haven't been any noticeable signs as of yet. I'm Jason Laird with the Montana State News Network.
Forest Service and other firefighting crews are battling the heat again today, especially west of the divide, where they've been able to use the cooler weather the past few days to keep the Black Mountain Fire in check near Lincoln. That fire is burning just 6 miles out of town, an area of dead and dying timber with difficult access. However, the fire crews have been able to keep the blaze at around 76 acres. There were 11 new fire starts across the state through yesterday, so be especially careful right now. It's very, very dry.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app or visit montanastatenews.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Finally, after almost a year and a half in captivity, essentially taken hostage by the murderous Putin regime on totally bogus charges, Gershkovich is free. The Wall Street Journal reporter able to be brought back home after some complicated multi-country negotiations spearheaded by President Biden, who said there's nothing more important than he has worked on. Also, Paul Whelan, the former Marine who's been held there almost 6 years, and two other American residents, and some political prisoners within Moscow. Biden meeting with the families in the Oval Office. And it really does underscore the importance of having allies who could help us. That was another point that Biden made. He met with the families in the Oval Office. And at last, your ordeal is over. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And today you're having a chance to visit with me, Tammy Hall from Bozeman, and my dear sweet brother from Canada. Before we get started, I want to remind you that Aaron is on Miles City for Americans for Prosperity from 7 to 8:30. Go see him at the Main Street Grind. We got a message by email from a regular listener, Right On John, and he said, quote, "I haven't met you, Tammy, Shane will love this. I secured my ticket to see the big Don Trump and many of my friends in Bozeman next week. Hopefully I can shake his hand this time or at least sit behind him. And yes, and Kelly and I are privileged to have tickets to that show next week. And we're excited with Donald Trump will be here next Friday in Bozeman. I want to remind our listeners that we have an incredible group of guests today. Of course, the best are Shane and I this hour, but nonetheless, is it Shane and me or Shane and I? I taught technical writing at Montana State University. At 7 o'clock, we have Brad Johnson, a retired CIA agent who is trying to bring out the fraud and the corruption in the CIA. And after him, we have our Senator Steve Daines, the greatest senator of Montana. We have at 8 o'clock, Congressman Ryan Zinke and former Secretary of the Interior. At 8:30, we have the chair of the Republican Montana Party, Don Kay. 9 o'clock, we have the Supreme Court Chief Justice candidate, Corey Swanson. And at 9:30, we have our future congressman from the Eastern District, great Billings. You're going to love him, Troy Downing. Pretty good load up, huh, Shane?
Incredible, but you always do incredible things.
They're pretty good friends and they're pretty good people. I'm always humbled when I ask. So, Shane, I want to talk about what we love about the Olympics. I first want to tell you, have you watched the dressage?
Of course. That's my love.
That's the love because your daughter competed in it and almost made it to the Canadian Olympics.
And she did. She was suited to go to China for the Olympics for representing Canada, but then China wasn't going to have that sport. It's the only sport men and women compete equally in the world. So, well, what happened was Taiwan and Hong Kong, the jockey club in Hong Kong agreed to host it, but that meant that every country could. Had to reduce two riders from the squad, so she wasn't able to go.
But well, Shane, we can't quite hear you. We need you to tap up a little because if...
Oh, is that better?
That's way better because if we... people have told me before they can't hear you and we can't go higher on our machine, we get mush. Well, the neat thing about the dressage in the cross country that is exquisite in France is that they're doing it on the palace grounds.
That's right. And as I said, it's the only sport that men and women compete equally in. And it's the most dangerous sport in the world. More people die from competing in that event than any other sport in the world.
Yeah, Christopher Reeves, and sadly. Okay, and then the sad news yesterday, although it's not the only sport in which men and women compete, because although the track and field, the swimming, the athletic part, said no men, and they wouldn't let that goober who has beat out Grimes in a man, full man, they haven't let those guys compete in the swimming, and it's been beautiful to watch. But the Boxing Federation decided whatever was on your passport, they would allow, and they have this Algerian fighter who looks like doesn't even pretend that he's a girl, doesn't even grow his hair long, doesn't even put on perfume, just walks out there like a man. And this poor Italian fighter, Angela Carini, he hit her so hard, he knocked her completely out. She made it 46 seconds, and she's the best in the world. And she walked away, just went down on her knees, started crying, and said, she said, I'm used to suffering. I've never taken a punch like that. It's impossible to continue against a man. It's not even legal. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, the sad thing is the Olympics had an opportunity to set a precedent in the world about sports.
They did.
To put these people, they should have put these people in the Paralympics, in their own venue to compete.
That's great. Yes? I love that idea. In the Paralympics.
And then do you take them out of the Olympics and the whole world would say, oh, well, we're going to segregate these people in sports in America or anywhere else. in a different category.
Because it's not normal, and they shouldn't. They're either a man or a woman. I can tell you that when I had my three children, and you can tell me that when you had your two girls, the first thing I did was count fingers and toes, because you want to make sure for some reason. And then I checked their noses to make sure they didn't get my dad's nose. And then I checked down there to see what they were. And I knew right away if it was a boy or a girl. There wasn't any question. You didn't have to wait till first grade to have the teachers tell you, right?
Well, you got to make sure you take Troy to see Trump, because he needs to get on the Trump One airplane, since he got the opportunity to get on Air Force One when Bush did.
Air Force Two? Oh, Troy didn't get through. Troy and Kelly were the motorcade. I got to get on Air Force Two. That was pretty special. But Kelly and Troy did get to be part of the motorcade. And it was really great, because they asked if you had any questions. And they said, they gave all these instructions for the motorcade, and they'd all gone through security. And did they go through security. And they talked about how, and they said, now you can't leave any space. You may think we're going fast, but you can't leave space. All down the highway, there can't be half a car length between you. And if you're afraid of that, then don't lead. Don't be in this motorcade. And then my son said, well, sir, I have a question. I read that somewhere recently, when the vice president or the president was coming in the motorcade, protesters ran between the cars. Do we run them down, sir? And the Secret Service said, no, you don't, because you're not leading the president. You're leading the other people. You stop. We don't. We run them down. Because we don't stop. We don't know what they're up to. So there you go. Well, you know, I wanted to talk about the outrage over the opening. I thought it went back and forth between absolutely breathtakingly beautiful as they floated down the Seine on their boats, and all the fellow running down the rooftops of Paris with his face blocked out like he represented the spirit of the Olympics, dancing down the top of the... But then they go to these incredible evil moments, just evil. And it was like the strangest thing. I know that is, but it broke my heart, because families were watching that. And when they went to that drag queen dance and fashion show where they mocked the Last Supper, they actually had a man come to the bottom of the fashion show ramp and display his private parts, and then followed up by a lady who came down and displayed her private parts. And then later they said, oh, that was a costume malfunction. Well, no, because they opened up their costumes and displayed them for quite a while. And people who had their children were just appalled. Appalled.
Well, their ratings dropped 20%. Now they've got the lowest NBC has the lowest ratings for the Olympics in the history of the Olympics. And we know the Olympics were first done and started by a Frenchman in 1904, and in 1924 they were in Paris, and so it's 100 years since there's been an Olympic in France. And my amazing moment was when they came up with this incredibly brilliant idea to use a hot air balloon to hold the torch, which isn't even lit up. It's lit up with LED lights and special lighting.
It looks beautiful. Like flames,
but it's not. It's beautiful. But I just want to mention that the first French balloon was demonstrated publicly September 19th, 1783. And in November of the same year, November 21st, 1783, in front of King Louis XVI, two brothers, Marquis Francis d'Arlandes and Rosier, his brother, flew and petitioned successfully for the first flight with pilots. And after that, King Louis the 16th had passed an original decree that only, criminals would be able to pilot balloons.
That's funny. Well, they said that's why they did it the way they did, because it was very unusual. They always get all the athletes in one facility, which they did, and then they light the torch, but they didn't do that. I thought it was very non-dramatic where they went out of there with the torch and then got on a boat in the Seine with famous people who are already millionaires. I thought that was kind of silly. They had Nadia Comaneci. They had our Venus, what's her name, the tennis champ. They had some of our big name people like Carl, what's his name, the big tall basketball player that's so good, who makes millions and is a professional carrying the torch for America. I thought, oh, come on, give it to the fencer or somebody who never gets to show their face. But then they went down the Seine, and then they came to the Louvre and lit that, but it was a little, that passing of it was a little off. We got just about 10 seconds here, but when we come back, we're going to have time to talk about the highlights for us.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If you're part of the Iranian leadership, who would you want as president? Donald Trump was not going to take any of your Adam Schiff or Kamala Harris after serving with Joe Biden. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden that surrendered in the war on terror. Kamala Harris that wants to show the courage to never use the word radical Islamic terrorism again. Remember, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were fined to make a $6 billion payment for as a ransom to Iran and make them rich and turn a blind eye to the sanctions Donald Trump put in place and let them bring in hundreds of millions of dollars and waive sanctions so that Iraq can pay them $10 billion. If you're one of these bad actors on the world stage, who do you think you'd prefer as president?
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, want to update your home while saving cold, hard cash with some sizzling hot deals? Well, Blinds.com has their huge Cyber Summer Sale. It's happening right now. Now, Blinds.com invented the better way to shop for premium window coverings. It's all 100% online, so you can forget about those pushy commission salespeople in your home. Now, they're virtual design consultants, so they'll help you on your schedule. Plus, they're going to send you free samples right to your house. Even when you buy multiple window treatments, Blinds.com can handle the measuring, the installation for one low cost, no hidden fees. And you also get upfront pricing, everything backed by Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Choose from a variety of premium blinds and shades. Upgrading your home with custom window treatments, it's simple, it's easy, it's affordable. Save up to a cool 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com and their Cyber Summer Sale. It's going on right now. Plus, you can score premium doorbusters up to 40% off site-wide. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Good economics helps people make good decisions, but doesn't necessarily make the decision for you. That's pretty clear to all of us in the field because we disagree with each other quite often, but it may confuse everyone else. Ours is a study of trade-offs. Suppose you want to patent an invention. That's a license to whatever it is you've invented that others must honor or possibly pay for. That's great for you, of course, but it's also good for the economy because it gives people like you an incentive to invent. But patents grant you a monopoly, which means one source of supply and usually higher prices. That's bad, especially if what you've invented is a life-saving drug that now costs a fortune. So we grant the patent for, say, 20 years. That tries to trade off the good of innovation versus the bad of monopoly pricing. Economics helps us understand that. But is 20 years the right number? We probably disagree. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Go check it out now. Just click over to crystalflush.com.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And today, it's not Aaron. Today, it's Tammy Hall from Bozeman. And it's my brother Shane from up in Canada. And, of course, Travis running everything. And my Kelly running when you call in. There'll be calls taken later. Aaron is in Miles City. And he's going to be at 7 o'clock, which is in a few minutes, at the Main Street Grind for the Americans for Prosperity. I would go down and visit with him. like to take a few minutes here to talk about the end of this, what I thought with the Olympics. Now, we have loved watching the Olympics. We have loved every night. We watch, we tape it, we sit, we're glued, we cheer, we boo, we cheer. These kids are amazing. I've had people say to me, and many of you out there may feel that way, that the opening ceremony with their mockery with drag queens, and they did. They mocked the Last Supper painting of the great Leonardo da Vinci. And at first, the founders, the artistic director, said, no, that wasn't the, you're just misunderstanding that it didn't represent the Last Supper. And they have since come out and said, yes, it did. And they did it on purpose, and they thought it would be okay. But 2.5 billion Christians and Catholics in the world who watched the opening were offended. I even heard Mel Gibson the other day saying he's never been more offended in his life. I personally was offended by a menage a trois. Now remember, this is families all over the world. And it was in a beautiful library in France, and it was a tape they showed, and it had a strange-looking guy, kind of gothic. He was reading a love book, and a gal who was reading a love book, and a guy who was reading a love book, and they kept making faces and winking at each other, and then they finally threw their books away, ran down the hall, and they started kissing the three of them all together, man to man to woman, another woman to man, and then they went to a room, and they went in, and they clearly opened the door, and you could see a big bed, and they winked and waved and started all three of them kissing again and closing the door. Now, what is the purpose? Does that serve at the opening of the great Olympics of this world? And I was disgusted. And I have friends say, you should boycott them. But here's the problem for me. These kids, many of whom are Christians and Catholics and good kids, many kids who had they had nothing to do with that opening. And I didn't see why they should be punished for it. And it says clearly in the Bible that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. But we need to walk above this world within it. And we need to witness all the time. And those kids who are winning medals and doing everything right for their country, oh my word, I'll tell you what, they're going to go out and inspire Christian kids and kids all over the world at what, you know, somebody was mocking in the depth of their soul. But every one of them, you could see them praying before they got up to compete. And I just don't think we should take that away from them. I do think we should take the men out of the women's sports. What I love about our Olympic team, my friends, is it was the death of DEI. the diversity, the equity, and the inclusion. The American Olympic women's team was made up of two Hispanics, a Caucasian gal, and an African-American girl and an Asian girl. And it had nothing to do with DEI. And they won the gold. And they won individual gold, went to Simone Biles. And it was aptitude and effort. It had nothing to do with how they looked, what their appearance was. DEI is dead when you start caring about aptitude. We have a great equality in America. We have the equality of opportunity. We do not have the equality of outcome. You may not win. You may not have everything go your way. But you have every right to try. I had a real kick. I've been cheering for Canada. I had a kick out of the synchronized swimmers because the Mexicans almost won. And they were underfunded. They stopped funding them in Mexico. I guess they decided the cartels weren't going to get any money out of Olympics.
Well, the great thing about the Olympics, Tammy, is it's still 5 seconds of meritocracy.
Amen, so amen, Shane.
Still has a